Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Watchman. And this evening, we are continuing, as usual, with what we've been studying. And we've been going through a very, very important series for this end time, even if it might not have all the makings of some of the things we've been speaking about in the end time. We shall resume those, because this series is about how you live your life in this end time and how effective you are as an end time believer. Remember I told you that scripture which says the sons of Issachar, Chronicles 12:32, the sons of Issachar were at the starting of the times, that they may know what Israel ought to do now. Sometimes we have to know what Israel ought to do, what is the thing to do right now. And this is what we are talking about. And we have been specifically focusing on things especially to do with health, your health, and with your basically wealth, health and wealth. I'll summarize it that way. Although it means your supply and financial well-being and things like that. And we started with 1 John. That was actually the original scripture of our teaching. 3 John, the third epistle of John, verse 2. Which says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers." And we explained that the soul is the foundation of your prosperity.
Yes.
Is the soul.
Yes.
It's not the spirit. The spirit is, you are one spirit with Jesus.
Yes.
He who is joined with the Lord is one spirit with him.
Yes.
It says that in 1 Corinthians 6:17. So your spirit is perfect.
Yes.
Full of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
But now it is your soul that is the pathway from the beauty that is inside your spirit to your experience.
Yes. Yes.
So now that's why he says, "I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers." In other words, to the extent your soul prospers, you'll also prosper in actual prosperity in the life you live and also in your health.
Yes.
So that was also very important. Then we want to talk about food for the soul.
Yes.
And what was the food for the soul?
Okay, we said the food for the soul is that each and every single day, there are certain things your soul requires.
Mm.
And the first one of it, it was your soul requires a song.
Mm-hmm.
And a song which keeps on singing to the Lord and makes you actually exalt the Lord.
Mm.
Then also we spoke about a purpose.
Mm.
A purpose is something which you do, your pursuit, which you feel that this is your direction, which the Lord is leading you.
Mm-hmm.
Then also we spoke about the last one, which is very important. And actually that took us into one of the next things which we've spoken about, which is the word.
Mm-hmm.
And your soul requires a word because that word is that which builds you. If you don't have the word of God in you, and the scripture says, "Let the word of God richly dwell in you." So if you don't have the word in you, your life cannot actually go the direction which you want to.
Okay.
Yes.
So your life will go in the direction of the word
in you.
That you have inside you.
Yes.
You said a word, a song, and a purpose.
Yes.
Now, the reason song is important is because people do not realize that the enemy uses songs a lot so that you find yourself rhyming a song inside you that actually speaks something which is totally contrary to what you're trying to believe God for. Maybe because you were passing by some club and you heard a song and let's see, some preacher was saying, and you know, he had a very heavy accent. So he was saying that, you know, you find these young people singing that "you give me heart attack." Now, I didn't even know that, okay, there is a song like that, which apparently, you know, talking about some lady who is very beautiful and she gives a man a heart attack. But now the thing is, imagine you're rhyming. "You give me a heart attack."
Yes.
Then outside you, you're believing God for healing. Now your song is working against your word.
Yes.
So your song and your word have to rhyme. There has to be a rhythm to them that they are pointing in the same direction. Because a lot of the world music, by the way, points you in a different direction from where the word of God is pointing you.
Yes.
And it will give you something different. So you are believing God for what? For, let's say, prosperity.
Yes.
But inside you, you're rhyming some song which says economy is tough, economy is tired, what so. Now,
yes.
A word is inside you, which is perhaps professing the word of God.
Yes.
About prosperity.
Which
you want. But the song inside you is in pointing the opposite direction.
Yes.
So you kind of negate yourself and nothing happens. Because so your word and your song have to rhyme and you move in that direction.
Yes.
Then also, very important, you have to have a specific purpose, a specific pursuit, something you wake up in the morning and you say, this is my pursuit, this is what I am pursuing today.
Yes.
And something that you can put a hand on and say, I accomplished this today.
Yes.
I woke up pursuing this and by the grace of God, I've accomplished it.
Yes.
And then we moved on to a word.
Yes.
And we said that there's a scripture in James.
Yes.
What does it say?
121.
Mm.
Receive with meekness the implanted word of God, which is able to save your souls.
Yes.
Yes.
So now we're talking about the soul.
Yes.
Very important.
Yes.
So receive with meekness the implanted word of God,
yes,
which is able to save your soul. So now every day that you receive with meekness the implanted word of God, your soul gets saved.
Yes.
And also it says that you may receive the end of your faith, which is the
salvation of your souls.
I think it's Peter who said it. Somewhere in Peter. Now, this is so important about how your soul is the connector between the beautiful things that are in your spirit, which the Lord has given you, which are yours as a believer, as a child of God.
Yes.
You don't have to work for them.
No.
There is no work you have to do for them. Jesus died for you to have them. That includes you being rich. We read that, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. That includes you having an abundance in everything. All those things are deposited by God in your spirit. They are there. You don't have to pray about them. Now, but you're not experiencing them because there is a valve which is called your soul, which locks them out.
Yes.
And they locks them out from your experience. So now, the reason we are teaching about the soul is because when you expand your soul, all the beauty that is inside your spirit flows from your spirit through your expanded soul, then into your experience, your lifetime experience.
Yes.
So now, if you were poor, but in the spirit you're rich, because it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the blessings are all spiritual, and they are there, and they are yours. He does not say he's going to bless us. He says he has already blessed us. Why are we not seeing those blessings in the actual reality or in our experience? Because the soul, which is the valve, it's like a tap, has been turned off. Turned off with unbelief, turned off with wrong thinking, turned off with wrong teaching, and all these other things which we have been talking about, and wrong practice.
Yes.
So then we moved from there and we said, we read from Mark chapter 4.
Yes.
I think the rest of our thing was on Mark chapter 4, 4:26. What does it say?
It says that, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself doesn't know how, for the earth heals crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after the full grain.
And then we say that's a very, very powerful word, because he says, Jesus summarizing the kingdom of God.
Yes.
In four verses, the kingdom of God summarized in four verses. Now, I want you people to know that the kingdom of God, so many people think it's heaven. The kingdom of God is heaven. No. If it was there, it would be there.
Yes.
God wants to have his kingdom here on earth.
Yes.
And his kingdom is here on earth.
Yes.
And Jesus said the kingdom of God is in you. Remember that? It's inside of you.
Inside.
Now, imagine that the kingdom of God is in you.
Yes.
But the reason it's not outside you and surrounding you and surrounding your life is because of the soul. Again, but it says it's like a man sows a seed. And then after sowing the seed, he goes to sleep. Remember earlier on he said the seed is the word.
Yes.
So a man sows a good word, then sows it. Now, sometimes the sowing of the word, depending on where your disposition has been, might take a bit longer than usual.
Yes.
When I started getting words to sow in my soul, it would take me almost 3 months of thinking about it. Of sowing the same thing. I get one scripture every day for 3 months. I am repeating it over and over again until I feel it has been sufficiently sowed inside me that I would even wake up in the morning and it's the first thing on my lips.
Yeah.
As soon as I wake up, then I know now it has been sowed inside me. Now, once it is sowed, then it says, having sowed the word, the man goes to sleep.
Yes.
And he does not know how that word yields a crop.
Yes.
Now, when I was sowing those words, I will give an example, I was sowing words of prosperity. and of, you know, blessing, I get a word in the scripture, in the, you know, all over the scriptures, and confess those words, confess them. Then after they're inside, I even move on and do other things. But eventually you find that your financial situation starts improving slowly. And it says first the what?
The blood, then the head.
Then the head.
And then the full grain. Yes.
Now that's extremely important. So now it does not start immediately. Now you're a billionaire. No. It starts first the blood, then the head. Then the full grain.
Yes.
Now, full grain can go on and on. I'm still waiting for full grain. But I know that. So now, you know that's a principle. But he's using the same principle of the ground, which was set by God. Now, you put a word inside you. You make sure it is sufficiently sowed. How do you know it is sowed? When you're sure about it, when there is no evidence of it. Now, when I felt the word was sowed sufficiently, I did not need any evidence of a good bank account or a good money with me to know that I was blessed. I did not need that evidence. I knew. The same way you can sow a seed in the ground, and let's say maize seed, and you know that in 3 months you're going to be eating fresh maize.
Yes.
You know, you don't, you're not in doubt.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
So now that's how you know that a seed has been sown inside you. When you know something has come, or you're waiting for it for sure, even if there's no evidence. So yes, there. Anyway, I'm just going over this because it was very important. Now, after that, we went from kingdom of God to sowing an actual seed, which is money.
Yes.
And there was a major principle we spoke about in regard to the money,
yes,
starting with the parable of the sower. What is that principle?
Now, the principle of sowing is, first, it's on the ground. Because you have to understand that all this is all about the ground. All this parable, which we read in Mark chapter 4, the difference on it is the ground. Because there is a seed which fell on the wayside and it was taken away. Then the one on among thorns, then the one on thorny grounds, and then the one on good ground. But the only one which yielded harvest, which it was the one sown on good ground. So we spoke about that in your sowing, you have to understand that the ground, we actually explained the ground, different kinds of ground and how they are. Like, for instance, the ground which is on the wayside.
We explained all that.
Yes.
The key thing, the most important thing, which the Lord showed me, is that the same sower went out and sowed the same seed and perhaps on the same day, but there were six different outcomes. And all the outcomes, the only thing that changed in the outcomes is the ground.
Yes.
The ground is what decided the three outcomes that did not yield any fruit.
Yes.
The three that yielded fruit, it's all good ground, but then what causes the 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold is how much now the sower also has to be involved, because when you are beginning learning the principle, you start with 30-fold.
Yes.
But after some time, after doing it, you the sower yourself, 60-fold, 100-fold. Even if the ground is good, it does not immediately yield 100-fold. No, it doesn't. So now that's very important. When we talked about characteristics of good ground and bad ground, we talked about that a bit. Now, since we are still talking about the soul, today we are talking about enemies or poison, what I would call the poison of the soul, things that poison the soul. And some of the things that people do and they do not know that they are poisoning their soul.
Yes.
And these are things which are very, very, very common in the church.
Yes.
And if people knew how these things affect them, affect their life, they would run away from them.
Yes.
I'm telling you, because they are poison.
Yes.
In the same way that, because difference is they might not yield immediate results.
Yes.
But just like somebody says, I'm going to give you this poison, but it's going to start working on an organ of yours.
Yes.
That's on your lungs. Slowly.
Yes.
And in like 6 months, you'll not be able to breathe.
Yes.
You would not take that poison.
You won't.
But when it comes to the poison of the soul, which is just as dangerous, people very easily take it because they do not know how bad it affects them. They don't understand actually how serious these things are.
Yes.
Now, there are people who I would sit with sometimes, and they start spewing out negativity. Negativity, you know this in what?
Yes.
You know, and that they don't know what they are doing, by the way.
Yes.
And yet they're actually doing it, and it is affecting them. Have you ever seen people who are so negative? They almost celebrate bad news and they frown at good news. And I know one such person. I used to move around with him. Like, for some reason, I used to move around. Like, when he hears something bad happened or somebody did something not good, especially somebody who is known for doing good, people like that. Eh?
Yes.
They are those people who will tell you which pastor is moving in which scene, which one did what. You know those. You know those people. Eh?
Yes.
They know everything negative, about men of God. Eh? Mm. That is the devil. I'm telling you, like that's the devil. Mm. And I'm not saying that the things they are saying are wrong. The question is, are you supposed to be feeding your mind with such rubbish?
Yes.
Now, that is poison.
Yes.
You understand? Eh? Mm. That is what? Poison.
Poison.
If you understand that it is poison, you will not let anybody come and put those things, because it is going to affect your life. I can guarantee you that. Mm. Now, this person comes and says, did you hear what happened, Pastor so-and-so? Ah, man. Ah, he did this and this and this. Once you start talking that rubbish to me, I'm going to escort you outside of my place.
Yes.
Or if we are seated together, a place which is I have no control over, I would stand up and walk.
Yes.
Because I know, I don't want to know what other... Like, you come and tell me, this man of God is blessed.
Yes.
You know, why he preached a good message. Mm. This man of God, you know, did something good. I want to hear that. Because now, positivity makes me live a positive life.
Yes.
Now, negativity actually makes you... Now, people who are fooled in this thing... Very, 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 and now that only leads to one major thing: unbelief.
Yes.
Now, what people don't understand is that unbelief is, let's stick that out now.
Yes.
One of the biggest enemies of the soul. Because unbelief is something that piles up inside you and makes your faith ineffective.
Yes.
Okay? And you people think they don't have enough faith. But the Bible says we have the faith of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
In other words, the same faith that Jesus had, we had. The only reason we are not chasing away, we are not raising the dead, is because of unbelief.
Yes.
Now, how is unbelief formed? By listening to a lot of rubbish, information that is negative, negativity and what and all that. It just piles up to your unbelief. So that now when you're trying to believe for something.
Yes.
Now imagine, I'll give you an example. Now, this is one of the things I'm going to refer it towards prosperity.
Yes.
Imagine you're trying to believe God for prosperity.
Yes.
For a word inside the scriptures, which is prosperity. Then somebody comes and tells you that, no, 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 you know, actually, Pastor so-and-so, who is prosperous. No, 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 no. You think he actually was prospered by God. He went and kufirad some bazungu somewhere and, you know, cheated them and got some money.
Yes.
Then you say, okay. Now, you think that's just a story, but it is adding onto your unbelief.
Yes.
Then that same person comes and says, that one, I know how he became rich. It is not the blessing of God. It is this. Then the other one, that one I also know.
No.
It is fake. It is not what. And this one is, you know, fleecing people of their money. The other day he did this. Now, suddenly, you are believing God to prosper you, but your mind is full of a lot of unbelief because of stories that you have allowed inside you. Now, do you know how difficult it is to overcome that unbelief? After you've been receiving
the word.
Receiving. Mm. And now people don't understand that. Now, some time ago, there was a media person who got cancer. She was a known media person and unfortunately passed on. So I met some guy. I was saying, that was before she had passed on. I was asking, how is this person? Then he says, it's tight. Then he told me that she's in stage 4. Then he told me that once they get to stage 3, then he started telling me all the stages. Now he wanted to start explaining to me the stages of cancer. I said, I don't want to hear. Don't tell me. I don't want to know anything about the stages of cancer, because that is going to increase my unbelief.
Yes.
That is information that does not help. It just adds to unbelief. So now somebody tells you, you know, this person, and there are people who are experts at that, and they are doing the work of the devil, only they don't know. This person, he got this, he died. This one, he got this, he died. And this one, that one died. This one, that. Now, don't listen to that crap. It is going to add to your unbelief.
Yes.
And when you are trying to believe God for healing, the only stories that will be in your head are stories of what? People who died.
Yes.
And now the picture you have in your head is a picture of what? Of death.
Death.
Because those are all the stories you've had. You've not had the story of somebody who got healed. You've not had the story of somebody who got prospered. You've not had the story of somebody who got blessed. Like you all you have are somebody who is, this one is a mufere, he stole people's money, that's how he's rich. The other one got sick and died. The other, like you're
surrounded.
And now, when you have such unbelief, of course there is a way out.
Yes.
I remember I used to get the scripture and I read, like, for instance, I'll give you an example. You're believing God for what? For healing.
Yes.
Eh? then your mind has been packed with all this negativity.
Yes.
First, shut off the tap of negativity. Ah. Now go into the Word of God.
Yes.
Start reading. Mm. I'll give you an example. Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. Mm. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and served them. When evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirit with one word, and healed all their sick. About maybe 14 or so
14
times. When Jesus talks about, actually in the book of Matthew, seven times.
Yes.
Matthew alone, where it says he healed all their sick. Mm. Now, I read that, I would open this Bible, read about where Jesus healed here, then all the way up to the end,
yes.
John, the Gospels,
yes.
Then I go back to Matthew, read the same where I healed, go back. Now, why was I doing that? Because I was trying to fill my mind with positivity. With
healing.
Yes, to get the negativity and the unbelief out. Mm. Now, unbelief, I'll explain to you unbelief. Mm. In the book of, I think it is Matthew chapter 17, and I'm going to do this very, very, very fast, because maybe at some stage we shall do it again. Mm. In the book of Matthew chapter 17, I believe, there was that boy who was, I'll read from Matthew.
Verse 14. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour.
Okay, stop there.
Yes.
Now, I want you to know that this, Matthew chapter 17,
yes,
they brought this boy to the disciples.
Yes.
And they failed to cast the demon out.
Yes.
Now, this was long after the disciples had been sent out by Jesus.
Yes.
And they had even raised the dead.
Yes.
They had done all things. You remember when they came and told him the demons were coming out in your name and they were celebrating?
Yes.
You know, after he had sent them out. Yes. They had healed the sick.
Twice, actually.
So this is not, this was not something they had not done before.
Mm.
It is something that had already been done. But now they had failed. For some reason, they had failed.
Mm.
And then Jesus rebuked them and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? And then he says, bring the boy to me. So he cast the demon out, and the boy was cured from that very hour. Now, of course, when you read in Mark chapter 9, it gives a more detailed explanation of the healing.
Yes.
Because it says the thing first threw him down, and it was as if he was dead.
Yes.
It's the same story, but he just adds more detail.
Mm.
It's as if he was dead.
Yes.
And everybody even said the boy is dead.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Then also in Mark chapter 9, the man was saying that, Lord, if you can do anything, please do it.
Yes.
Then Jesus said that if you can only believe,
all
things are possible to him who believes. Eh?
Yes.
Then the man said, in Mark chapter 9, the father of the boy said that, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.
Yes.
Now you see, these are two different words.
Yes.
I believe and unbelief.
Yes.
Okay? Mm. Now faith and unbelief are two different words.
Yes.
I want to explain this to you. Now he goes on to say, when the disciples came to Jesus privately, they said, why could we not cast it out? Because we've done this before.
Yes.
We've cast out demons before when you sent us, and we know how to cast out demons.
Yes.
So why could we not cast out this particular one? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Mm. Okay?
Yes.
Very, very important word.
Yes.
The word unbelief. Now he said, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you will say, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and to remove, and nothing will be impossible to you.
Mm.
Now, here he's saying a mustard seed is actually, because we are not familiar with it, it's like a simsim seed.
Yes.
If you know simsim.
Yes.
Now that's about the size. Actually, it might even be slightly smaller than a simsim seed.
Yes.
Now, Jesus said, if you have faith like a simsim seed, you think about it that way.
Yes.
That's in other words,
that's enough.
You don't need any more faith to do all these wonderful things.
Yes.
But the reason you're not doing them is unbelief.
Mm.
You see, he said, this one, it's because of your unbelief.
Yes.
The faith you have.
Mm.
But the unbelief is the one which is messing you up. In other words, everyone has faith to be healed.
Yes.
But if somebody has explained to you all the stages of cancer, Then somebody has explained to you who died. Then somebody has told you how many people have died of cancer. Then somebody has told you what are the chances of somebody dying of cancer. When you get cancer, you'll have enough faith to be healed, but you'll have a lot of unbelief.
Yes.
So your faith will be useless.
Yes.
It's like your faith is covered by mattresses.
Yes.
And it is down there, but it's covered by layers of unbelief.
Yes.
Because somebody has been telling you all these things. No, it's not this. The other one, you think God blesses people. The other one got blessed because they got money from homosexuals. The other one got blessed because he could fail at people. Now, you have the faith to be blessed, but you have a lot of unbelief which has come from a lot of negativity which you have received.
Yes.
And it has become an enemy of your soul.
Yes.
And it is so difficult for you to exercise your faith.
Yes.
Now, that is what he called unbelief. Then he said, listen to this. He said, I'll read from verse 20. Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, think of this as a simsim seed. It's about the same size.
Yes.
You will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Then he went on to say in verse 21, however, this kind does not go except by prayer and fasting.
Mm.
He's not talking about this kind of demon. He's talking about this kind of unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is in the context. He's talking about the kind of unbelief.
Now,
there's a kind of unbelief where you've had a lot of negative stories.
Yes.
That the only way you're going to remove it is by prayer and fasting.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, it works powerfully.
Yes.
If you realize that you're trying to believe God for something and you can't believe because your soul is full of negativity.
Yes.
Go and fast for 3 days.
Yes.
Okay, might not be night and day.
Mm.
And it might not even be 3 days.
Yes.
I'm just saying. Eh? Mm. But go and take time and fast.
Mm.
You realize that.
The faith.
The unbelief will start peeling away.
Slowly.
And then after some time, you start believing that it's possible.
Yes.
No, I can get healed. I can believe now because the unbelief has been removed.
Yes.
Now he says this kind of unbelief does not go away except by prayer and fasting. Of course, some people think that you're talking about this kind of demon.
Mm.
That's not true. There is no demon that does not go away in the name of Jesus. Eh?
Yes.
Fasting cannot add anything to the name of Jesus, to the power of the name of Jesus, because it says that God has given him a name that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow down.
Yes.
It doesn't need your fasting for a demon to go. All it needs is the name of Jesus.
Yes.
But he's talking about the unbelief. Okay, now. That's one of the enemies of the soul, unbelief.
Yes.
Now, I want you to talk about bitterness, stroke, wrath.
Yes.
Another enemy of the soul.
Yes. Actually, let me read a scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26.
Mm.
Ephesians chapter 4, 26. It says that be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. So, wrath, we're speaking about anger and wrath.
Mm.
Now, actually, they are intertwined.
Or bitterness.
Bitterness.
Mm.
Okay, let me start with bitterness.
There's one in the scripture in Hebrews.
Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15.
Mm-hmm.
It says, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled.
Okay. Now, he says, read it again.
Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled.
Okay. I might as well say many people's souls become defiled. Now, he says, you fall short of the grace of God.
Yes.
Remember, everything has been provided for you by grace.
Yes.
And you have all the things that Jesus gave, died for you to have.
Yes.
You have them by what?
By grace. Yes.
But now he's cautioning.
Yes.
Be careful.
Yes.
Lest any bitterness.
Yes.
Crop up.
Yes.
And disconnect you.
Yes.
From that grace.
Yes. Which you have received.
Which you received. Mm-hmm. And now disconnect you and means that it is now shut up somewhere.
Yes.
And it is not coming where you want it.
Mm.
Where it is going to be a factor in your actual life. You understand? Eh?
Yes.
Be careful, lest any bitterness. Very, very important. Now, people do not understand that somebody can do something to you. And I'm sure you've seen people who are bitter. Eh?
Yes.
Somebody does something to you, which is unfair.
Yes.
Now, the people who are bitter, for the most part, have a good reason to be.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm.
For the most part.
Mm.
And it's not like they are just being, childish or what. No, somebody has actually hurt them.
Yes.
But they are not. If you really love yourself.
Yes.
And you want to see the fullness of God in your life.
Yes.
Don't allow those things to take root.
Mm.
Don't allow somebody. Because if the devil knows that you are prone to bitterness, he is going to go and stop people to always come and get you bitter. So as soon as you're getting over this one, then another one comes and makes you bitter. Then as soon as you're getting over that one, another one comes. And now you go on and on and on, and you do not understand that actually the enemy is playing on your mind and keeping you in a place of bitterness.
Yes.
And now that goes against your soul.
Actually, I think before someone gets to a point where they are bitter, there's this scripture which is in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. It says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you. It's actually a point where, because bitterness is a pile of all these unforgiveness, where you like people have done to you wrong things and you don't forgive them. Let me just say like that. Because forgiveness, what happens is it relieves you from that heavy heart. Now, when you don't forgive, that's where now bitterness crops in, and then it leads to, like, you become bitter and you're full of wrath, actually. Yes.
Okay, although in the New Testament, okay, that was Jesus who said that.
Yes.
But also it says that because God, through Christ, has forgiven you.
Yes.
So forgiveness was purchased on the cross. However, wrath is going to be an enemy of your soul.
Yes.
Now, very important, an enemy of your soul. And now, wrath, it's actually a small difference between anger, wrath,
and bitterness.
Yes. Okay? Now, I think they're almost in varying measures.
Yes.
It's almost like bitterness is anger which has fermented.
Yes, yes.
Which has been kept like a ferment. The way you get something and put it there and ferment it and becomes alcohol.
Yes.
Yet before it is fermented, it's actually non-alcoholic.
Yes, yes.
So now anger is well there, but you know, you can easily get over it. Because somehow people do things which anger you. But you have to make sure it does not last. That's why it says, don't let the sun go down, on your wrath. Once it goes down on your wrath and you sleep over it, the next day it ferments, and the next day it becomes bitterness.
Yes.
And now you don't know what you're doing to yourself. And if you only knew what you were doing to yourself, if you only knew that you were taking poison small, you would not let it go to there. Because there are people, and I see it a lot, even in churches, even among believers, people who are angry and bitter, and you wonder how they got there. And by the way, born-again people, very angry, very bitter, with a lot of things piled up in their hearts. And you wonder, where did you get the time to pile up all these bad things that are done to you? Now, bad things are done to people everywhere and every time, you know,
Yes.
But how do you let yourself get into a place where now you're bitter with somebody? And I've met people like that. Very bitter. You talk about somebody, they even turn the other side, they even spit. I remember sometime I was talking with some person about something that happened in the so many years ago when I was a kid.
Yes.
And when I spoke, I saw this lady who was somewhere. She turned and looked at me, and suddenly her face changed. Everything changed. Then she, you know, twisted her face in this way. And I was wondering, what is wrong? Then I realized that something had happened in that period which hurt her very much. And she had a genuine reason to be hurt. But I was talking about things which happened like more than 30 years ago. Now, if you're still holding anger 30 years, man, there's something wrong with you. Regardless of how big that thing was, you have to be able in position to let go. So you know, she told me her story. And her story was very sad. And at the time this thing happened, she had a good reason to be angry. But nobody has a reason to have bitterness.
Yes.
There is none whatsoever. Don't let the sun go down on your anger.
Yes.
Do not sleep over anger. First forgive somebody. First say, I've forgiven. Just do all the things. Because you become bitter and now you block the grace of God.
Yes.
You close your tap
to
everything that the grace of God would have done for you
in
regard to your life. The other one is grumbling.
Yes.
Now, people don't understand. These are things seem to be small, you know, small. I mean, grumbling, ungratefulness.
Yes.
They don't realize that the children of Israel, listen to this, everybody. The children of Israel came out of Egypt and they made themselves, you know, a golden calf.
Yes.
And they even said that, the people, see the God who brought you out of Egypt. A golden calf. Now, when God saw that.
Yes.
And he was up on the mountain with Moses. He told Moses that you go down because even your people have defiled themselves.
Yes.
Now when Moses came down and he saw that these people in total disregard of the God who had brought them out of Egypt, had actually made a golden calf and said that, oh, children of Israel, see the gods who brought you out of Egypt. And now they were worshipping it and playing the harlotry before it. And Moses came and he was angry and even threw down the tablet, which God had written on the commandments. And the tablet broke. And God, you would have thought that God was would have said that, you know what, let me destroy all these people here. No, he didn't. Do you know what he did? He told Moses, you come back up. I will write those things again. Okay? So Moses went back up and he wrote those things again. Now, they went and did this and did. Eventually, it was grumbling that stopped them from entering the promised land. I want you to know that they were, in the scripture says there were 600,000 men who left Egypt. All of them, God having promised them they were going to the promised land. 600,000 men. All of them were going to the promised land according to the promise of God. Only two men arrived at the promised land. Two. Not even Moses who led them got into the promised land. Only Joshua and Caleb arrived. Only Joshua and Caleb of the 600,000. The others, what were they guilty of? Grumbling. Not Moses, but the others. Grumbling. Ah, now what? Now why do I? Let us go back to Egypt. Now they first did it and did it. And then God said, okay. They have been slaves, so it's okay. So he first excused it. Now in Numbers 13, he says, no. Now these 10 times you have rejected me. Now you are going to die in the wilderness, as you've said. Because it wasn't the first time you were saying we are going to die in the wilderness. No. The other times you ignored it. Ignored it. But when you can persistently grumble and you refuse to believe God, you close down your soul and actually even open it to attacks from the enemy.
Actually, there's something which you've said powerfully, which I want to read the scripture in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, which says that because they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened.
Their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, because of ungratefulness. Imagine how you think it is a small thing, but it is because they did not glorify him as God and were not thankful. Now, the opposite of grumbling is gratefulness or praise. Now, praise is what opens. Like, praise is like a food for your soul. Every time you praise God, you're actually doing your soul a whole lot of good. And you're lifting yourself up to a certain place. And it's a very, very powerful thing. And I'll tell you this, that praise, somewhere it talks about the sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice is something which you give when you would rather not give it. It's a sacrifice, you understand? That's what the word means. Now, when it talks about a sacrifice of praise, it means praising God when ordinarily or circumstances surrounding you, you'd prefer not to. Maybe because somebody has annoyed you, something has not worked out, or you're angry about something, that's the best time to praise God. Because when you praise God at that time, number one, it is a sacrifice of praise and will yield a dividend. Number two, it stops you from going down the path, the destructive path of grumbling. And I'll tell you this story, which I've mentioned at fellowship before, about a time I remember so many years ago, we were going into a Easter holiday. And you know, Easter holidays, how they move all the way from, I think, Thursday, and the whole weekend goes on up to Tuesday. Tuesday is the next working day. So there was this guy who I was expecting to give me a check, which I needed the money to go throughout the weekend of Christmas. So, and the guy delayed for no reason. He had the check. He could have given it to me earlier, and I could have banked it on Monday, so that on Thursday, which is the last working day, I would get my money, and then I would have a good weekend. But the guy delayed, then eventually gave it to me on Wednesday. And when it was even Thursday, so I went and banked it, but I couldn't have the money, and I had no money whatsoever for that weekend, no money whatsoever. I was broke, I was on the wall, and I was so angry with the guy, very angry with the guy, and because he had delayed for no reason, you know, people who are just like, you know, and his delay was going to cost me dearly. Anyhow, so I'm home. It's Saturday. The whole anger has piled up. I'm angry at this man. If he had given me my check, now I don't have money. I don't have fuel in my car. It is on red. I parked at night when it was red. So I know I have no fuel. I even have no food. It's evening. I am hungry. I have no food. I have no fuel. It's like 7 p.m. I'm just descending down into, it's almost like descending down,
and the next day you are
descending down into, I don't know, into a pit.
Yes.
Going down into a pit. Then suddenly I felt a voice from inside me saying, praise me. And the last thing I felt like doing was praising God. I'm telling you this because it is going to happen to some, it has happened to so many of you. The last thing I felt like doing at that time is praising God. Mm. That was the last thing I ever wanted to do. I was angry. I would rather not. But I said, you know what, let me obey. Mm. So I went into my room.
Yes.
And I started praising God. And at first I was praising God only with my mouth, but my heart was still heavy. My soul was still bitter. But at least my words were good. Mm. So I praised God. I praise you, God. I thank you because of this. But my heart is saying, no, but man, this guy. But you know, I praised God. I continued. I persisted praising God. I can tell you it must have been around 15 minutes when eventually I felt my heart now aligning with my words. And now actually I started, all the anger and bitterness went. And now actually started praising God genuinely. Not just with my words, but with my heart as well.
Mm.
And now I actually got caught up praising God. And you know, I actually got heavily caught up praising God.
Mm.
And I became very emotional. I was even in tears, thanking God for everything he has done for. Like, suddenly, when I changed my perspective, I realized that how can a check make me angry when God has done so many things for me? Now, I started praising him, almost like for 1 hour and a half of praising him. Then when I finished, I was feeling so good. I forgot that I was hungry, yet I was actually still hungry. And I forgot that I had no fuel. I still had no fuel. All those things I forgot. Then now, the Lord even said, the next day I was supposed to preach at a church. Then the Lord even started showing me the things I was supposed to preach.
Mm.
So I got out my Bible and started. I did not even realize that I had no fuel to get me to the church where I was supposed to preach.
Yeah.
And God is here showing me things. But that had escaped my mind.
Mm.
All that had gone away in the process of praising God.
Mm.
So he started showing me things I was supposed to talk about. So I was writing, you know, writing them down to meditate on them through the night. So I wrote some of them down and so on. Then when it was around 10 p.m., somebody called me and said that, hey, you called me earlier. Then that's when I remembered, hey, by the way, I don't even have fuel. I said, yes, I wanted you to give me some money. Somebody would, you know, I could get money from. So I told him, I need some money. I want you to give me some money. The guy said, yeah, no problem. Where are you? So I told him, I'm home. So he told me where he was. And thankfully, it was not far away. And I used not to stay far away from town anyway. So I got in my car and I was praying God that the fuel gets me there and the car does not run out before I get there. To cut a long story short, I actually reached there, got the money from him. It was at a restaurant. So I even got myself some food.
Yes.
Ate, then went and fueled my car and went home. And now, the next day, my car had fuel. So of course, I went to church and I preached. Now, when I finished preaching, that little money had given me, we had some visiting preacher who had come there for the main service. I was preaching in the first service. So I told the main preacher, let's go out and I buy for you lunch, still on this car money.
Mm.
So we went out to, you know, some top chain of restaurants somewhere here in the city. And we sat there and, you know, having food and, you know, after food, I usually like taking a cup of coffee after my meal. So I'm taking a cup of coffee and the owner of the place comes and says, hey, Kableta, what are you doing here? I say, I'm just enjoying my... So he says, okay, I will pay your bill. So he took the bill for me and this visiting preacher and what? So that means the command I had was even saved.
Yes.
Then that same man did something. Now God was trying to prove to me something.
Mm.
That very man did to me something. It's the only time he has ever said this to me, and I knew him so many years before and I know him up to now. It's the only time he had ever told me this. He told me, by the way, why don't you come tomorrow and I give you fuel? I said, oh, okay. So the next day, and now you see, God was showing me that
yes.
You wanted food. I gave you food.
Yes.
I've even given you another fuel. Plate, food free of charge.
Mm.
Now even fuel, which you were going to be angry about,
yes.
I'm even going to give you now a full tank. And God was proving to me something, that if you had gone down the other path of grumbling, nothing was going to happen.
Yes.
You would have ended up empty, angry, bitter, and that's how so many believers are.
Mm.
But if you choose to go this path of praising the Lord,
yes.
God showed me. So I went, the guy gave me fuel. The guy paid for my meal. Now, I had banked the check, I think, on Wednesday. So somehow, throughout that week, I continued getting money. When the check matured, and now the money was there, I did not even need it because I even took my time to go and withdraw the money because now the check
and
was
yet
not,
that was the cause of
but when it up to the matured now I was no longer in a hurry to get the money because God had showed me that there is something more important than now don't underestimate how
number one praise
but also how grumbling can be an enemy of your soul.
Yes.
Never ever grumble. Mm-hmm. Never grumble. Whatever the case, even if something bad happens, you have a history with God in which he has done for you so many powerful things.
Mm.
Look at those. Eh? Look at, do not focus on the negative. Focus on the good things God has done. Imagine if you were the one, you've done all these things. Let's say you have a son of yours.
Yes.
You've looked after him, you've done this, you've given him everything. Then one day he comes and says, I want something. Let's say, I want a phone, let's say. Mm. Then you say, no, I cannot afford the phone. Then now suddenly he says, ah, you're a fake father, what? You know? Now your relationship, you say, hey, this boy, all the things I've done for me from beginning to end. Now because of a phone, suddenly I'm now not a good father.
Yeah.
Now that's how you be before your heavenly father, who has saved your life, who has redeemed you, who has prospered. Even when you are, you know, could have gone down here. Like he has done so many things for you. So now when you come to a place where you're tempted to grumble because maybe something has not happened the way you want, instead of grumbling, choose to praise. Just say, God, thank you, because even, you know, the other day I was, there was an accident, I could have died, I didn't die because you saved me. Now even here, you know, you've done this, all these things. Now, that opens up your soul to receive from God.
Yes.
Exactly the way it happened to me. The minute I praised God intensely for like an hour and a half of complete emotional, heartfelt praise.
Yes.
And suddenly all the things for which I was going to grumble disappeared.
Mm.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, that is, now always know that never be tempted. I beg you, never be tempted to grumble. Mm. Never be tempted to grumble.
Yes.
Never be tempted to be ungrateful.
Mm.
Never be tempted to be bitter. And the one thing I want to talk you to, another thing I want to talk about is envy.
Yes. Now.
Because there's a scripture actually says we are envy and what exists all all evil things. It's in James. Eh?
Yes.
Because where does it say where envy and what are? They are all bitter things. Eh?
James 3, verse 16.
Mm. What does it say?
For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there.
Now, I want you to know this. Eh? This is the biggest cause of so many of the issues in our churches. Envy and self-seeking.
Yes.
Envy and self-seeking. Now, that's the... No, of course, they go together. Because when you're envious of what God is doing with somebody, you'll be a self-seeker.
Mm.
You want God to close everybody else and deal with you as if you're going to do all his work on the earth.
Yes.
So now, and that now it says, where envy and self-seeking are, exist what?
Where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there.
Now, I wish you knew that every time people get into envy and self-seeking, and I know this even among men of God, where they become envious and then start seeking for themselves. Sometimes they destroy.
Yes.
There is a place I know where, you know, man, I've seen things. I don't want even to go into them, lest I add to your unbelief. But I have seen things which are shocking. And you say that, do these people serve God or are they serving themselves? And now, it says, where envy and self-seeking exist, there is confusion and every evil thing. Do you know the devil comes and takes advantage of it? I wish people knew how much the devil takes advantage of envy and brings down men of God.
Yes.
Because of, like, brings them down.
Yes.
If you knew that, you would fight envy the way you fight I don't know what. The way you fight if somebody came and wanted to take your land.
Yes.
You would fight envy like that.
Mm.
Because it is dangerous. Because once envy comes, and now that's usually the entry point for the devil. Envy.
Yes.
Bam.
Malice comes in.
Malice. Then he says every confusion.
Yes.
Where envy comes, self-seeking.
Yes.
Then malice. Then confusion.
Confusion.
And then eventually every evil thing.
Are
now
there.
That's where the devil comes and takes over. Now, and he has a blast among people who are supposed to be children of God.
Yes.
Because of envy and self-seeking. Mm. Now, if the children of God actually understood how powerful this is a weapon for the devil, they would run away from it. Like, run away from every envy.
Yes.
And how do you run away from envy? By making sure that you're happy for every man of God. Like, happy for everyone who is doing good.
Yes.
Now that is food for your soul. When you have no malice,
yes.
You have love, you have what?
Yes.
So now you can't say you love people when you have envy
and
malice and self-seeking. Mm.
And actually, there is something which in the previous messages you spoke about, that there was a time you saw this rich man, you were in South Africa, and
yes,
you saw this man. You started getting into that envy. And
where I was ascribing his wealth to the devil.
Yes. So we're in that position where you are envious and you're full of malice. Mm. You can't actually receive that substance which you have, which you are rebuking.
You're angry with somebody because of being rich. You will never be rich.
Yes.
If you're angry with people because of being rich, yet they have not done anything wrong to you. That's actually how poverty works.
Yes.
That's the spirit of poverty.
Yes.
Then there's another one which people, you know, do not take a lot of care about.
Yes.
But it's in Hebrews chapter 13.
Hebrews 13.
Verse 14.
From verse 14.
Mm.
Says, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise.
Remember what
God.
We said about the sacrifice of praise?
Yes.
To God.
Yes.
Sacrifice of praise means praising God, whatever the circumstance.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That is the fruits of our lips, giving thanks to his name.
Amen.
But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased.
Okay, first off there. Do not forget to do good. Now, he's talking about a bit of what we're talking about. Opposite of malice, opposite of envy, and so on. But now it's verse 17, which I was actually more interested in.
Yes.
And what does it say?
It says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you.
Okay. Now, I want you to listen to this very, very carefully. It says, obey those who rule over you. In the spirit, okay?
Yes.
Your spiritual leaders.
Leaders.
That would be like your pastors, your what, you know?
Yes.
Who rule over you in the spirit.
Yes.
And who God has given responsibility to watch over your, you know?
Souls.
Watch over your souls. Eh? He says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive to them, okay?
Mm.
For they watch over your souls as those who must give account. Now, it says that when God puts you under somebody's, a spiritual leader.
Yes.
Okay. That person has to watch over you because he has to give account to God for how he watched over you.
Mm.
Remember the scripture which says not everyone want to be a teacher.
Yes.
Because teachers are going to be judged in a different way.
Yes.
Because when you're a teacher or when you are somebody who watches over other people's souls, God is going to judge not just you, he's going to judge you in the way you related to those people.
Yes.
So there might be some people who perhaps were offended or what because of you. So he's going to judge you for that. But then now he gives this as an account to the believers and says that you should obey those people who are over you in the spirit. Okay? That would mean like your leaders in the church and so on.
Mm.
For they watch over your souls as ones who must give account. But the next part of that verse is so important.
Yes.
Then he says, let them do so with joy and not with grief. For that would be unprofitable for you. In other words, if your pastor watches over you with joy and he likes you because perhaps you take good care of him and so on, it is profitable.
Yes.
But if he watches over you with grief because you're a person who is confusing the whole church, you're the person who is doing, and he looks and says, but why did this person even come here?
Mm.
It says that is unprofitable for you.
Yes.
Okay. Now, if your spiritual leader watches over you happily because he enjoys watching over you because you're a good person, you serve well, you're obedient, you're submissive to all the authority that God has put in the church and so on, that is profitable.
Yes.
But if you're a grief to your spiritual leader,
it
is unprofitable. Now, that's why sometimes the kingdom of darkness has a whole message where they come and, you know, these pastors who are taking what? Now, because they know, the devil knows that if you start looking at your pastor the way the world looks at pastors, it is unprofitable. It's not going to help you.
Mm.
Okay?
Yes.
So don't fall for that. No, pastors. Pastors are fake. Pastors are what? Now, they are believers who actually got caught up in that rubbish.
Mm.
Okay? Mm. And it is unprofitable. They end up with nothing. You live like the world does. They will fire you from your job. Like you have no special grace
that
protects
you.
Because you've refused the hierarchy of God. God has a hierarchy which he follows.
Mm.
Okay? And just like every government has a hierarchy.
Yes.
Now, if you go and disobey, there is a hierarchy of a government.
Yes.
Okay? For instance, it comes from a president down or even maybe even down to RDC.
Yes.
So now, if you go and disobey the hierarchy, no, you're not going to get any blessing from that government. Now, if you disobey the hierarchy of God, you're not going to get any blessing from it. It will be unprofitable. And now the devil, through the worldly system, goes and, uses people. Pastors. Hey, pastors have a faith. Of course, now the truth is, they might, but the point is, if somebody is watching over you in the spirit, be very careful to make sure that he does so happily.
Yes.
Because that is going to be profit to you.
Yes.
But if you are a pain to him, a pain in his neck, and every time he sees you, he says, now this guy, what has brought him? He never has anything good to do or to say.
Yes.
He will never do anything that he's told to do. When there's a church program, he's the one who is fighting. And there are people in the church as well like that. The scripture says it's unprofit. And that is an enemy of your soul. That is an enemy of your soul.
Yes.
Because you will never get anything from here. It will be unprofitable.
Yes. Unprofitable.
Yeah. You will not get any profit from it. Praise the Lord. So now, these are some of the enemies of the soul. Do you have any that you can talk about in a minute?
It's actually this which I want to say. And I believe that's exactly what we've been speaking about. It's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, which says, Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul.
Yes. Thank you very much. We shall end with that. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Now, your soul is trying to pick up something.
Yes.
But your fleshly lusts are fighting
against
that very thing.
Yes.
And he says, what does he say? He says, he actually even pleads.
Yes.
He says that.
I beg you.
Big
as sojourners and pilgrims.
1 Peter 2:11.
Yes.
He says, but I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul.
Yes.
Oh, that's powerful.
Yes.
That's very, very powerful. Very powerful. So I think now we've exhausted that thing. There might be others that will be bad, but we've given you an idea of what we are talking about, of the enemies of the soul.
Yes.
So these are things which war against the soul.
Yes. Now, personally, when I actually started getting to know this, maybe through you and the messages you've been teaching us, I'd actually started to work on myself because I realized one of the key thing I used to have is anger. And actually, because you taught us these things, I started working out my own kind of salvation to know that at any single time, I don't need to be angry or at anybody. I need to be peaceful. I am lovely. Like, so when I started doing that, of course, it didn't get out in one day.
Of course.
And then I continued doing it until right now, nobody can anger me or can make me feel sad or what. I keep on feeding on good report, on
positivity
and increase and what God has called me to do and all these good things. And because of that, I know it cannot block the flow of what God has deposited in my spirit to my experience.
Okay.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. That's a wonderful testimony. Amen. Now we'll end with that because we've run out of time. This is the Watchman Joseph Kableta and Evangelist John Paul Akena telling you have yourselves a wonderful evening. God bless you all.
Amen.
That was The Watchman. Tune in next week to connect to the anointing upon The Watchman. You can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, how to give, The Watchman Magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.